This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
And I've been spending the last couple of months studying love languages, particularly the love language of my wife and my children, and staff members, friends, and family that have taken this love languages assessment. And you know, it'll pick up as we go, but man, just to let you, as we worked through Texas already today, and I got news yesterday that a dear friend of mine was killed suddenly and tragically in his home on Friday, and so kind of woke up going, not feeling the jokes. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And that is okay. As a church, I think it's the thing I am grateful for the most of pastoring a local church is we do rejoice together and we mourn together. And so wherever this message goes, if it goes somewhere inappropriate, it's because I'm tired. I'm just going ahead and throwing that out now, and we'll edit it before we put it out online. Actually, we're live, so let's see what happens. So this Sunday and next Sunday, we're talking love languages, and we end it with a workshop on next Tuesday night, July 15th, and about 400 of you are registered for that so far. We hope to fill the castle as we get into the dialects of the five love languages in that workshop. Great book written over 30 years ago by Dr. Chapman. It's still the number one best-selling marriage book of all time. And just so you know, the love language is not just for couples. This is for parents, for singles. I've learned a lot about friends in my life, great conversations. The assessment is a diagnostic, but even more than that, it is a great discussion starter. This book's been, you know, over 20 million copies sold. It's been in over 60 languages. And I just want to encourage you today as we talk about loving one another and how to love one another well. I want to remind some of you, you may be in a relationship that is soured. You may be in a friendship that isn't what it used to be, and you're questioning yourself. You're questioning the other person. And if we're not careful, we often can point the finger of blame at the person that we're in the relationship with, the friend, the spouse, the parent, the child, and be like, well, it's really your fault. And if you would just, and I want to remind you today as we kick off this two parts and finish out the series on Summer Family Reunion, you are in the best position to change your relationships for the better. So it's not about blaming someone else, but we want to take personal responsibility. And if you don't like what you're getting out of a relationship, change what you put into it. I've used this illustration for years with ping pong, but I've been forced to change the illustration because of all you senior adults finding a new sport, right? They're like, yes, we got something our joints can handle. So you could do ping pong as well, but couple comes in for counseling. I've heard this for years and years. And the wife says, I don't feel loved. And the husband's going, but I do all these things. I feel like I do all the right thing. I don't feel loved. And then you get into it, because I always ask couples at the beginning, what's your goal? Leaving here today or in the future, what's your goal for this time so that I can come alongside you and help to the best of my ability? And then you start to hear him talk, and I'm just gonna use the wife as an example right now. She'll be like, well, when he comes home, I just want him to talk to me. I just want him to open up and share. He's so closed down. I wanna ask him about his day. And he won't, and I'm sitting, you look at the couch and the husband's sitting over there like this. And I'm like, you know, how's that working for you? Is he opening up? Is he sharing? Because here's what I always say to him. Change your serve. Change what you're bringing to him. And this, I'm just going to throw this at you. Ladies, if I just described you in a marriage, try a lob. like, and I'm not a pickleball player. You're like, we can tell. But just try coming in and trying a different approach and see how it goes. You're in the best relationship or best position to change a relationship. And if you don't like what you're getting, change what you're putting into it. You've heard it said it takes two, but I'm convinced it often starts with one. And so there are two verses I want you to memorize as we go through this week, next week, and into the workshop. And it's the words of our Savior in John 13, 34 and 35. It's a great three-part outline. So it's pretty easy to memorize. And I want you to memorize and meditate upon this as we live in a world that is hostile toward us. As believers in Christ Jesus, we should be loving toward one another. this is important because Jesus is sharing these words with his disciples. And they know we are going out to take this good news to a hostile world, to a world coming against us. And in doing so, we have to make sure that we are doing what Jesus told us to do and doing what he showed us to do, and that is love one another. Look at this three parts. A new command I give you, love one another. Are you in a relationship right now where you're not feeling it? People ask, is love a feeling or a decision? And the answer is yes, it's both. It is something you feel. In Song of Solomon, we read that the Shulamite woman was heartsick. Right? That heart, that pitter-patter of the heart, that's a feeling. But you're not always feeling it. And so when you're not feeling it, it's a decision. And Jesus says, this is a command. So loving one another is an act of obedience. He goes on to say, as I have loved you, so guys, I've shown you how to do this. I have modeled this for you. Love one another. And then by this, part three, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So here's the outline. Jesus commanded it, he modeled it, and when we love one another, it points others to Jesus. This is so important. How many of you have been on a cruise? Would you raise your hand here across campus? Look around. How many of you have been on a cruise excursion? On the boat. Okay, so you're gonna know what I'm talking about. I don't think I'm overstating this, but I hate cruise excursions with every ounce of my being. Can't stand them. And the reason is there's somebody out there with a flag, and you're all herded like cattle off the boat, and you stand there for 30 minutes for everybody to show up. And it's exhausting, and here's why. And Amy knows these have always worn me out. We just did one recently, and there were 96 people on this excursion. And every excursion always has that one person. Look, you already know what I'm talking about. That one person who you're in line getting ready to go on the train or the little boat or take the walking tour, whatever it is. And this one person goes, I'm going to grab a cup of coffee before we go. Yeah, you get back over here in line. We're not waiting for you. Like if it's a 3-hour excursion, you got about 45 minutes of activity and 2 hours and 15 minutes of waiting. And they're like, daggers into my heart whenever we go on these trips. We just went on a cruise recently and Amy booked 3 excursions on the boat and 3 knives going deep into my heart. And we had the knucklehead. And by the way, somebody, I want to make sure I'm clear on that. I'm not talking about seniors with mobility issues. I have great patience for the person that has mobility issues, that's aware, that's like, I'm getting on this whatever excursion we're going on. It's the person that's in the souvenir shop or in the coffee shop. You have this person in your family. Every family, I'm convinced, has at least one. Whether you're going to dinner, whether you're going on a vacation, it's all about them. They have no ability to think about the rest of the group. And some of you right now are trying hard to figure out who that one person is. And I don't know how to break it to you, but it's you. And we hate you, but this series is gonna help us love you and get back in line. We went on this one, 96 people, and the last excursion Amy had planned was a 3-hour walking tour for like the next stop. And I'm like, you know, yay. But even Amy, as you're gonna learn with her love languages of acts of service and quality time, the best way I love her is when I do things that save her time, which means when she's wasting time, her love tank is draining. And that's all a cruise excursion is, a big old waste of time. To go see the site that you just drove past on the big boat, now we're gonna take a smaller boat to see the exact same waterfall and then go back. I'm getting a lot worked out in this series, ain't I? Just point out the obvious. I don't mind spending $700 to go see the waterfall again, but we're gonna see it on the way out of this thing too. And Amy texted me and she says, hey, I just want you to know I tore up the tickets for the 3-hour walking tour. And I said, I've never wanted you more. And I have discovered that's what is the most exhausting part about the local church. The person, and it's more than one, who it's all about them. It's all about them being loved, being served, right? Being celebrated. And now some of you, that you have a real need in your life right now, and you walked in here today and you need help, and we are here to help. But part of being discipled and becoming like Jesus, right? He commanded it, he modeled it, points others. Part of that is that you learn this is reciprocal. This is loving one another is something I give back. It's not just about me. And we want, as we go through the love languages, you're gonna like, I wanna learn my love languages so people can love me better. That's not the main point. The main point is that you can learn the love languages of those around you and that you can learn to better love them. So what is a love language? That's what you might be asking as we kick this off. And some people would tell you that chocolate is a love language. It is not a love language. Dr. Gary Chapman says this is like the number one thing he's told. But if you bring somebody chocolates, that's a gift. If you make chocolate, that's an act of service. So he says, every time someone shares with me something they think should have been a love language, I remind them that it's probably a dialect within one of the love languages. Some people, and you've seen this on shirts, sarcasm is my love language. And I agree with that. No, I don't agree with that. Sarcasm is not a love language. And even Amazon, you probably got a box at your home that has said, fast delivery is my love language. So they're everywhere. But when we talk love languages, what we're talking about is this feeling loved. And for every, this is what I know is true of every single person in here. Even for the ones that don't want to talk about loving one another this week, next week, or at the workshop. It's true of you too. Our deepest emotional need is to feel loved. And this is why, you've heard me say this before at this church, intimacy is being fully known and fully accepted. This is why divorce can be so painful, because someone who knows you so well has now rejected you. Someone who knows you so well now takes the intimacy, the information they have about you, and they use it against you. And that deep pain that sits in, because all of us have this need. So here is the simplest definition of a love language. Your love language is how you best receive love from others. It's how you best receive love from others. And we've isolated five. Dr. Chapman categorized these years ago. And he says, I've never been dogmatic with these, and I love that about him. He has been a great friend over the years, and I appreciate his humility and gratefulness for all that God has done through his ministry. But these are the five love languages right here. And most people, this is about the limited knowledge they have of the love language. But just basic phrase. I know the five, but the goal of the workshop next Tuesday night is to get to the dialects. And behind these five love languages, there is a total of 22 dialects behind them. Obviously not gonna get into them today or next Sunday, but that's the plan for the workshop. Words of affirmation, this is actually my primary love language. Amy's is quality time and acts of service, which means I serve her for long periods of time. And acts of service, and I've learned with Amy's act of service, I have her 15-page report here. This has been so helpful for me over the last month and a half. We've been married almost 30 years. And Amy's been, the last couple of weeks, been saying or doing something, and I'll be like, uh-huh. What I'm thinking. It's been super helpful because Amy wants to save time. Anything I can do to serve her and save time fills her up. She feels loved. Now, receiving gifts. This is, most people in this room, across campus, online, this is their foreign love language. It's my foreign love language. It's not receiving gifts. Now, that doesn't mean the next time I bring up Milky Ways or Little Debbie Christmas trees, I don't want them. It's just not the primary way that I feel loved. And then physical touch, and by the way, behind physical touch, there's seven dialects. At the bottom of the list is playful touch, and I've told you that's tickling, and I hate tickling. Tickling is like, it's cruelty, it's hostility, there's nothing I enjoy about that. So it's like, so my foreign love languages are receiving gifts and physical touch. And so this is important because this is like the basic knowledge most people have, but the dialects are what I hope you really dig into in the next couple of weeks. And even if you can't come to the workshop, that you would do the assessment to learn how to better love those in your life. Because, you know, I think about these five love languages. I speak five languages. Let me give them to you. Si, ciao, jambo, bonjour, da, right? I just spoke in five languages. You're like, that was impressive that you got all those down. But I'm not fluent in those. And this is what most people have, just a basic understanding. But the dialect, anybody here from Minnesota? Let me just see the hands of anybody from Minnesota. I don't want to tell you this, but you speak funny, right? Anybody here from Texas?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You would think Kent speaks funny. That's called dialect, right? From different regions. This week was with David Nasser. He'll be here in a couple of weeks. It's part of our creation series. And he told me he took a friend to a restaurant. We were talking about love languages and dialects, and he goes, oh man, a friend from another part of the country visited us. I took him to our nicest steakhouse, and he said, I went to the bathroom at the wrong time. I got up to leave. When I came back, my friend said, man, the waiter just said that the special tonight is all-you-can-eat lobster tails. And David's like, that is unheard of. Who does that at a high-end steakhouse? And he said, but man, I got after it. I had four. My friend had four. His son had six. Waiter brings the bill. I open it up, and he said, I had this moment where I'm like, I call the waiter over. This is outrageous. You charge us for 14 lobster tails. He said, yeah. He goes, you told my friend that it was all you can eat. He said, no, I told your friend it was a la carte. So this is why this is important. You may be speaking the same language, but a different dialect. Years ago, I was in London, and I walked up to this cashier, and I go, where's your nearest restroom? And she said, what's your preference? And I said, male. I'd like a men's room. She looked at me. We're having this. She thought I said, where's your nearest restaurant? Guess what? We were both speaking English. Different dialects. And that's what I love about digging into this and understanding. Now, that's what a love language is, but let me tell you what it is not, just so we're not confused. It's not your spiritual gift. So receiving gifts is my foreign love language, but my two spiritual gifts primarily are teaching and giving. I love learning about generosity. I love studying generosity. I love getting around generous people to learn from them. So as you go through Sweet Spot and as you learn your spiritual gift, it's different than what we're talking about with love languages. It's also, it's not your Christian service. So when I stand up and explain that, giving is my spiritual gift, some of you might say, well, it's not mine. I don't have to participate in the offering. Well, it is part of your Christian service. We're all called to be generous, and it's not the fruit of the Spirit. When we say love language, we're not talking about love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faith, self-control. And as we go through this, you're gonna see, yes, we all wanna feel loved, but we all feel loved in different ways. So, for example, gift giving. For Amy and I, it's both a foreign love language. It's like at 0%, it's next to nothing. Does that mean I never bring her flowers? No. I still do things to show Amy I love her. It's just not her primary way. And every couple's gonna be different. Every parent-child relationship's gonna be different. But what I love more than anything is sitting, you know, on the couch at night and look over and Amy's on Amazon and she looks at me and says, thank you. And I say, what? She goes, you just got me something real nice for Mother's Day. We've learned for us, and this works for us, and it's why you need to learn it for you and for your relationships. We cut out the middleman. But I still buy Amy gifts. So let me give you another one. We don't have physical touch. Amy and I aren't cuddlers. This may be too much information about your pastor on a Sunday morning. But I mean, how many here are not cuddlers? Let's just be real honest. Yeah, look it, because we'll cuddle on the couch because, you know, that's what the movies tell you to do. But after about 3 or 4 minutes, like, I'm hot. You know, get away from me. I can't breathe, right? My arm's asleep. It's like, what? Who finds this fun? We have a great marriage. All right, I just need you to know that. Because let me tell you what turns my wife on right here. When we sit down and talk about her calendar, bow, bow, chicky, chicky, bow, bow. That's, she's like, let's cuddle. We gotta get, I mean, no, I'm just saying, for Amy, like I've learned this week, like I've discovered some things I've always known, but now I have language for, that for us to schedule a time to talk about the schedule. I hope the wife just paid attention to that over there. To schedule a time to talk about time. And Amy and I both have quality time as a primary love language, but the way we experience time is very different. And we'll get into that next Tuesday night. My primary gift is words of affirmation. So I don't need notes on the mirror, but just the thank you for working so hard. There's three dialects behind the love language of words of affirmation. And then this is Amy's acts of service. Every time I get in her car, we're getting gas. And so Amy and I figured out, like, why do we enjoy running errands together? One, Amy hates driving. She hates it with all of her being. Like, if we meet, like, at Target to drop her car off and go do something else in Branson and maybe even have dinner, as we're coming back, she forgot that she dropped her car off. And I got to tell her, hey, we got to go pick up your car. This is her response. I got to drive. Like, she hates driving. She hates wasting time. But here's what we want to dig into through this series. My primary love language is how I best receive love, but I want to become fluent in all five love languages to better love others. I want to learn them all. I remember sitting at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport years and years ago with my mentor, Dr. Gary Smalley, and they announced a delay on our flight. So he hopped up and ran over to the Rosetta Stone kiosk, bought a $200 Rosetta Stone package to learn French. Now, if you know him, I could have told you he wasn't going to learn French. But he walked back, opened up his computer, put the CD in. I go, what are you doing? He goes, I just figured I'd learn a language while we were sitting here waiting on the plane. He had it in for 5 minutes, then he took it out, put it back in the box, handed it to me and said, you want this? So I want you to put the work in to learn how to better love others. But here's the bottom line as we continue in this to next Sunday and into Tuesday night. We wouldn't be teaching the love languages if the sole purpose was for you to feel loved. That's not the sole purpose of this. We want you to feel loved. Don't get me wrong. We want you to feel welcome today. We want you to experience hospitality. We want you to know that we care for you. So we want you to feel loved, but we also want you to learn how to love and change your serve in a relationship. We saw John giving the words of Jesus, but now look at this agape, self-sacrificing love. It's something, and you go to a concert and the artist says, love others. And a lot of times it's just a sentiment. For the believer in Christ Jesus, it is not just a sentiment. We know that God is love. Love comes from God. And if you're in a relationship with Jesus and pursuing intimacy with Jesus, he is the source of your life. He's the source of the love that you give out. So if you're having a relationship problem right now, if you're having a difficult time loving someone, I submit to you, you don't have a people problem, you have a source problem. And in 1 John chapter 4, we read, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. So don't buy the love is love, whatever that is. No, God is love. It comes from him. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So speaking of, yes, being born again, but also having an intimate relationship with him. And for some of you, it's reconnecting to the true and only source of life as a believer in Christ Jesus. For others today, it's actually placing faith in Jesus because you have had the wrong source your whole life. Everyone who loves God has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. Verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And what a great way to finish out this series this week and next week in the summer family reunion. Just as we started the series by welcoming people into the family, baptizing 112 people. Let's end this series with seeing more people come to faith in Jesus, knowing he is the true and only source of life. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And that's where we're gonna go in this series. And so let me just give you, I'm gonna give you a very simple definition of each of the five love languages. So as many of you take this assessment, you can begin the conversation We're going to build it out next week. We're going to look at the dialects on next Sunday, but the 22 of them, but then we're not going to get into detail until Tuesday night. But words of affirmation. This is receiving love through spoken or written words that validate your feelings. And it's been fun. Amy, she carries around my assessment as well. This one was created for Amy, but hers for me. And it's just fun to watch. Like, I can see her moving toward... she's always been very encouraging to me, but now she realizes encouragement is not my primary dialect, right? It's more on the security front and what I'm able to provide and all that. Words of affirmation. The next one, quality time. Receiving love through meaningful conversations and shared activity, but understand the activity is not as important as the just being together. Words of affirmation are about what's being said to you, but quality time is more about someone listening to you. Next one. Acts of service, receiving love through someone else's time and effort to make your life easier. The next one, receiving gifts, receiving love through thoughtful gifts as tangible expressions of care and connection. Gifts say, you know me and you are thinking of me. It's my foreign love language, it's Amy's foreign love language, but I raised a son and a daughter and it's both their primary love language. Receiving gifts. It's the foreign love language of most people. You're going to see the dialects move from extravagant to simple and sentimental and to fanciful or purposeful. And so it's been fun. I had my son, I had Carson take it, Corinne take it, my son-in-law, Caden, he took it, and then my son's girlfriend took it. And it's like, I want the people in my life to take this so that I can better understand them, connect with them, and show them, again, saying I love you is one thing, showing you I love you is another. And then the last one, physical touch. Receiving love through meaningful touch when words fail. And again, I just want you to know, you're like, well, that's my foreign love language, but it's still, when you pick up the telephone and get a phone call that you have a family member that passed away, those are the moments where that hug comes in. Again, don't see these as, you know, just exclusive you know, to a season of life or even a circumstance, but that you would see for some physical touch is a daily thing. Travis Bronner just told me this in the back. He says, I think mine might be physical touch, but I don't need you rubbing my shoulders. I go, I'm not gonna give you a massage on Sunday, but I said, I may come up and I don't know for sure that's his. I don't think he's taken the assessment yet. And this is probably too much information to share publicly. Hey, would you give Travis a hug before you leave here today? You know, I'm just kidding, Tony. He just left. Anyway, through meaningful touch. In moments of great joy and great sorrow, physical touch offers comfort, support, and connection. And so as we finish up today and as we head out to concert in the courtyard, I just want to encourage you. Here's the QR code. I want you to be a part. I think it's so important for our church. I want us to be known in this community as a loving church. Like those people love and care for each other. They show it on a regular basis. And so this premium assessment, even if you can't be at the workshop, you can't be here next week, you may be visiting out of town. If you scan this QR code or go to our website, you can get the code. It's $20. That's what we paid for it. That's what we're passing on in this. And I would encourage you, get it for family and friends as well. Ask your kids. I've asked all of my kids to take it. I want to know. I've asked friends and family to take it. But we're going to meet together on Tuesday, July 15th to go over the dialects, and registration is required. If you're out of town and want to be a part of it, we're going to live stream it. But we hope you dive into this. Again, it's a diagnostic, yes, but it's a great discussion starter to show the people in your life how much they matter to you.